Father God, we come here just not to sit in cushy seats. We don't come here, Lord, just to talk to friends, but we come here to meet with you, God, because we know that you have something to give us, and especially that's a filling up, God, with your Holy Spirit, so that we continue to press on and fight the battle and reach out and love people around us. God, it's so easy for us just to focus on ourselves, Lord. We admit that. We confess that. And God, we ask that you would help us now to focus on you and focus on others. Father God, come and speak to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Pastor Wong is going to be going... Yeah, that's not Pastor Wong. Pastor Wong is going to be going on a sabbatical leave here beginning July. July 1st through all December, coming back January 1st. The first part of that, July through beginning of October, he's going to be working on a book. This book is going to be basically a practical step-by-step of how Chinese churches can reach out to the Muslim world. Then October, Christmas time, he's going to be going over to Malaysia, seeing family, doing a little bit of different ministry. So that's what he's going to be doing. And this is part of the church contract for him to care for him as our pastor. Now, well, I'd like to address two issues. One is pastor, and two is sabbatical leave. First of all, a pastor is human, right? Yeah, he's just like you. He's human, okay? How many of you get hurt or tired or hungry? Okay, some of you are supermen, superwomen. You do not. Hands do not go up. Okay. Pastor is the same way. Hurt, tired, hungry. What's the difference then? Right? There's basically one difference. It's the difference that a pastor has a call on his life to be a pastor. And it's very clear that the Lord Jesus has called him to this. To care, to guide and direct, to lead a church group. We call it the flock. Shepherd, shepherd the flock. Pastor is always, we say, ministering or serving others. And in that sense, he is being poured out or emptying himself. Now, when you're being poured out or emptying yourself, what do you need to do? Need to be poured back into, or be renewed, re-energized, whatever words you want to use. So how do pastors do this? How do you do this? Hopefully you take time to rest. Hopefully you take time to be with the Lord, to be in God's Word, to be in prayer, possibly going to educational institutions to be filled back up. These are different methods in different ways. I need a volunteer real quick. Okay, Ron's back from Israel. Ron, come on up here. He was just about ready to raise his hand to help me. Yeah, stand beside me here. Okay, Ron, this is going to be a simple activity about an inflow and an outflow, okay? And I don't know, Michelle, we might need another volunteer here. I got a lot of hands here. And in case I drop it, the better chance I got somebody else dropping it. Okay, you hold that there. Okay, actually, Michelle, come around to the back here. Okay, you're going to pour the water into this. Go ahead and just pour it in there. And very good job, Ron. I knew I got the right guy. He knew how to hold that on there. Okay? So, the pastor is definitely filled up, right? Filled up with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, studying the Word, going through seminary, which is just wonderful. You know, it's amazing. But then, as he begins to minister, the cap comes off, and he's continuing to pray and everything, but he begins to pour out his life. Oh my. And sorry about that. But this is an activity because I got to preach in the second service, so you guys are actually helping me to prototype test this. And he's just not filled up anymore. Right? Did you get wet, Ron? Not too bad. So he needs to take a sabbatical, which is stopping what? His ministry. And he's beginning to get filled up again. Beginning to get filled up again. And so, a sabbatical. You guys may sit down. Thanks a lot, man. And so, a sabbatical is when the pastor goes and takes an extended time stopping ministry, serving, or that outflow. And that's what Pastor Wong's going to be doing. Now, if you got a pastor, a lot of times you got the pastor's wife. So I got to talk about pastor's wife too. Pastor wife, she human? Yeah. She get tired, hungry? Yeah. Now what's interesting, I got to ask this question. The next program work with. How many of you are working? Okay? Good. How many of you are working with your wife or your spouse? Okay. Now what's interesting is a lot of times your wife or spouse does not work with you. Why? Because your company didn't hire them. In fact, if your wife just showed up with you to work, they'd be like, what is she doing? The church is one of the only institutions where when the pastor is hired, the wife comes along. And so, being that said, the pastor's wife will take a sabbatical too. Okay? Now, sabbatical. What's the purpose of it? We already said it's to cease serving or ministering or working. Okay? Good job, buddy. You can have a seat. That is a lot of water. It's a lot of outpouring, isn't it? Yeah, he's going to give me an amen pretty soon. A lot of outpouring. So, did we kill this? Bring it back up? Okay. In order, we cease ministering in order to, number one, be renewed. Okay? Can we get to the next one? Number two, to listen to God for the pastor's self and for the church. This is a fact. Busyness is the best way for a person not to hear the voice of God. If you are busy, you will not hear the voice of God very well. Number three, to be healed. Not only themselves, but their family. To be healed. It's been said in many Christian journals that the church is one of the most hurtful places people have ever been to. Take it as it is. And the wounds that are left unhealed will disable the soldier so they cannot fight, or a wound that is unhealed will kill a person. They need to be healed. Number four, to examine and reorder their roles, their responsibilities, their direction, their vision. Who am I? What do I do well? What are my strengths, my weaknesses? Where do I need to be focusing? Not only myself, my family, but the church. Last of all, to develop an interest or a hobby. Okay? Pastors' whole lives do not focus on the people in the church all the time, every second. They actually do have hobbies and interests. Pastor has an interest in having the Chinese church reach out to the Muslim community. That's the book he'll be working on. Also during this time, as pastors are taking a sabbatical, it's interesting that we could actually see it as the church has a bit of a sabbatical time too, from the pastor. It's in this time that they can begin to reorder and examine their vision, their roles as people in the church, and their responsibility, and correctly move forward for the Lord. That is the pastor's life, and sabbatical. Let's take a moment just to think of Pastor Wong, his wife Emily, and let's pray for them. Jesus, we want to lift up to you our pastor. God, we don't really know him real well. We don't know the things that he struggled with. We don't know the phone calls he receives. We don't know the emails he has to read, the broken hearts that he tries to mend, the people that he wants to see love Jesus so much that they continue to walk away. We don't understand, Lord, but you do. And that's why we come and we pray to you and ask that you would come and renew, that you would re-energize, that you would heal, God, that you would reorder, and God, that you would just give him a joy in his heart in all of his obedience to you as a man who is set apart for you in your calling. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Now, today's not just about Pastor Wong, his wife's sabbatical, it's also about you. So let's take a look at that. Okay. God wants you to rest after your work. And this means to cease. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. I'm only going to read verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. What is that word rest in the Hebrew? What do we call this day? Sabbath. That's the way they got it, Shabbat. What's that word mean in Hebrew? It means to cease. To cease work, to stop working. These words go together. On the seventh day, he stopped working. How many of you stop working? Can you stop working? Now, when we go on verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day, and he called it holy. Because why? He rested from all his work. Now, that's just crazy. We have a day that's set apart, because that's what the word holy means, to be sanctified, to be unique, to be set apart, same word for saint. Ones who are set apart, that are unique. Of all the days of creation, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amazing things. Stars, sun, moon, you. Amazing. God's creating them. And he chooses what day? As special? As set apart? As unique? The seventh. I did nothing. And it's great. It's holy. But what's the focus here on the seventh day? What's the focus? Is it the creation? Is it doing? It's the creator. It's the doer. And we sit and we rest. We remember. We celebrate. We cease and stop everything we're doing to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, just sit there before me. Just think about me. Just enjoy my creation. You're talking about an awesome God. What if you had a boss, seventh day, you can work some more. I don't think so. I want to go back to Jesus. I want to be with God. God wants you to rest, and He wants you to see. Stop. To pause. On we go. Oh, I gave one quote I heard from Perry Noble. He said, from Proverbs in Exodus 20, says, to not work is lazy, but to not rest is disobedience. Disobedience. On we go. Number two. God not only wants us to rest so that we cease, but God wants us to rest after the battle to be re-energized. We've got to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at Mark chapter 6. This is some pretty good stuff. And I like Mark. Mark keeps it simple and to the point. Shoots it pretty straight. Mark 6:6. Okay? It says, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village and calling the 12 to Himself, He sent them out two by two to love. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and He gave them authority over evil spirits. And it goes on and talks about a little bit about this walk, and in verse 12 and 13, it basically sums it up. Then they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. That's interesting. It's not like they have stopped working or anything, but we get this record of John the Baptist is... Anybody got that written at the top of their Bibles there? He's beheaded. He's murdered by King Herod. And then we go through that story, and then we come down to the story that probably talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000. But that's not how it starts out. When we look at Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 33, this is going to be our focus today. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Let's go ahead and look at verse 30 real quick. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. What is this? This is basically them giving a report to their commanding general. And it goes back to verses 6 through 13. In verse 12, we read that, gives that summary. What is the report in verse 12 and 13? They preached that people should repent. Wow, I bet you the people like that. Then they drove out many demons. I bet you the demons really like that. And they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the report. They came back. They're saying, Jesus, this is what we did. You know what this sounds like to me? It doesn't sound like ministry. It sounds like a battle. It sounds like war. You need to repent. You need to change your ways. Demons, be gone. It's triage. Here come the sick people. Time to heal. Spiritual warfare. And like we talked about 2 weeks ago, whether you like it or not, you're in a spiritual battle. Whether you like it or not, Jesus has called you to be a soldier. If you have decided to follow Christ, if you are in Christ, you are in a spiritual battle. And your work and your ministry should be looking like a battle. The pastor, a lot of times, is on the front lines of all that. Now, in war, in a battle, is it tiring? Is it draining? I mean, we go out and we play a little bit of paintball. And I tell you, afterwards, I'm like, man, back of my thighs are hurting. My muscles, I turned my neck ways. I never thought I'd turn it. I got welts on me. I'm like, I want some food. I want to be re-energized. Spiritual battle that we're in drains us. Now, these 12, they're returning from this battle. They're reporting. They're telling. And when they're tired and drained, when we are tired and drained, what do we need? Be renewed, right? Re-energized. So what do they get? Let's go to the next verse. Then, because so many people were coming and going, did not even have a chance to eat. How many of you like to eat? Okay, and this isn't, I just like to eat because I've been doing all this work and I've been, you know, fighting demons and healing people and preaching people, repent. This is like, I just like to eat because I like to eat. These people are truly, really hungry. And what do they get? They get more people. They get more ministry. They get more people to serve, more of the battle. What we get is always, many times, not always, but many times, different than what we need. The demands of ministry, of serving as a Christian, a lot of times they don't stop. You can look around any time and find people that need help if we choose to. Second part of that. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love this part because it's very true that good leadership helps their co-workers to rest, to be re-energized. Jesus knew they needed rest. Jesus knew they needed food. And so, he's trying to make that happen. Now, I wanted to give a little example here. And I don't know if you can see this. I hope you can. But we got an electric drill here. And this is the, I don't know, what do we call this thing? Okay, the charger. Thank you. I was like, re-energizer? No, charger. Charger. You put this on here. What's it doing? It's charging. What else is it doing? Nothing. It's not doing nothing. No, it's not doing nothing. But unless it does nothing, you're not going to get something. Oh. Didn't get enough. Needs to go back on. This guy did get enough. See the difference? The guy who's been energized, the guy who hasn't. Man, I'm going to have to get a little juice in that for the next sermon. We're not going to get anything. Other way. You're staying for the second sermon to help me. I brought these guys. Now, these are a little old. They still work. Don't laugh. What are these? Jumper cables. Jumper cables. Okay, you go to a car because the other car died, doesn't have any energy. So you charge it off the one that has energy. If the other one doesn't have energy, both are going to die. Simple fact. Energized people energize others. I'm sorry, guys. Some of you, the way you act, the way you look, the way you approach life, I don't know. I've seen you do other things. You got super energy. But man, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to interacting, be like,
yeah, I love Jesus.
Yeah. Whoa! And then people are like, you love Jesus? What's going on? It's like, man, this guy's wounded. He's hurt. He's got problems. You know, whatever. We can show a little bit of energy for Jesus. It's okay. It is okay. We don't have to jump all over all the time and do cartwheels, stuff like that. Energize people. Energize others. And that's why we need to be re-energized. We need to come and get rest. I just got to say this. I got way too much to say today. Not enough time to say it. Verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Okay? We're going to put verses 31, you look in your Bible, and verse 32 together. We're going to look at some practical godly steps for rest. Try to do these. Because I'm sorry, I don't want you to come here and just get knowledge. That's not why Jesus wrote the Bible. Or whoever wrote the Bible. That's not why we have the Bible. So we can apply it to our lives. Number one, what's it say he did? They did. They went away. To go away. To physically remove yourself from work, from ministry, from serving. Now some of you that are, I don't know, but you're like, man, that's unloving. That's unkind. We should never remove ourselves from God's Word. That's what Jesus did all the time. He went away to be with the Father. Hey, you guys stay over there. You'll still be there when I get back. I know you will. I'm going to go be with my Father. They went away. Number two, they went away by themselves. Not with a bunch of people. Not with all the needy people. Not with the dry, hopeless people. They went away by themselves. And again, maybe, ooh, that sounds unloving. They should have took all those needy people with them. And again, they went as a group. Group retreats are okay. They're good. You can do it individually too. It's okay. And good. Number three, where'd they go? Solitary place. Verse 31 says a quiet place. Said, no distractions. Oh man, when I think of that, I think of no children. No kids. Sometimes I just go in the bathroom and I spend a little longer time in the bathroom. I'm not one of those guys that goes in and like reads the, you know, National Geographic for 5 hours and then done and I'm out. I'm like, in, out, got a job to do. But now that I got kids, I'm in there. Yeah, I'll just stay in here for a while. Kind of lock the door. And yep, here comes my son. Dad, you in there? Get to a place, a solitary place. In the Word of God, a lot of times it talks about the wilderness, the desert area. You go to verse 35, you find out that all these people came. They don't have food, and that's why he feeds the 5,000, because they're in a, verse 35, remote place. Go away. You got to get away. I just had a brother email me last night and had to respond because we asked him to get a retreat. He says, yeah, I'm going to this university. I got to meet with a coworker, and then I got a class at night and stuff. And I said, we wanted you, and I had to write back and said, be honest. To be truthful, You need to not put your work together with your retreat times. He just put them all together and he thinks he's going on a retreat. No, he's going to be thinking about work. That was for free. I just added that. Fourth, get some rest. What is the purpose? Verse 32 doesn't say it, but verse 31 says it. Come away with me together to a quiet place so you can get some rest. This is the purpose of it. This is why we do it. And last of all, back up to verse 31, says, come with me. You know, a lot of times we go to places of rest. And I do this all the time. I need to rest. What's on TV? Half an hour, hour, 2 hours later. What did I just do? That wasn't restful. Facebook, video games, whatever. We think that it's bringing us rest. But you know, when we go on this, we don't take Jesus with us. We don't ask Jesus to go with us. We forget about Jesus. And Jesus goes with them. A true retreat and true rest is to go with Jesus. Because He's the only one that's going to fill your needs. That empty well where you dip the pail down in and you bring up muck and mire, that's not Jesus. When you go to Jesus, you'll bring up a clear, crystal water. And when you take a step, you'll be renewed. A lot of times this reminds me of many times where my wife and I, we plan a vacation with the family. And we come back, man, we're so excited about this vacation. We come back and my wife and I look at one another and we say, man, I need a vacation from our vacation. Some of you totally understand. Need a vacation from the vacation. That's why we got to come and be with Jesus. Go with Jesus. Last of all, verse 33. I do this in 3 minutes. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot ahead of them to the towns and got there ahead of them. The fact is, it's hard to rest, period. It's not easy to escape. Because there's always something there. They were going in a boat to a solitary place. It's going to be restful. And the people, the worries of life, the stress, it runs ahead of you. It arrives before you and it waits for you. I mean, I go to work and I'm getting ready to come home and I'm like ready to relax. And I'm like, wait a minute, snap out. I got a wife at home. She wants to talk. I've already used my 5,000 words and she's got 25 waiting for me, 25,000 waiting for me. I got to get ready, pumped up, back into the action. And not only that, but we got kids. Look at this poor guy. That's rice. He got rice all over him. And your kids, Daddy, play basketball with me. Daddy, play a game with me. Daddy, why are you going off to a prayer meeting again? A meeting. Why don't you stay home? And just the worries of life, paying bills. It runs ahead of us. It arrives before us. It awaits for us. And so, if it's hard to rest, we need to be intentional about it. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to rest. On Sunday, you get ready to rest. And I'm not Mr. Strict Man and stuff. You can't do anything. If you have something you enjoy, enjoy it. But come here first before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to sit in your presence. Lord, I want to come and talk to a brother or sister. Just relax in their presence. To be in the presence of God. And then to take these special times where you say, Lord, I'm going to go and just be with you for an hour, for a half an hour. I want to take a whole day and just be with you. You got to write it in your calendar. You gotta not answer the cell phone. Don't take a cell phone to a retreat. Keep it on. Oh, I can't wait till somebody calls me so I don't have to read the Bible or spend time with the Lord. know some of you are like that. I gotta check Facebook. It's my life, my life string. If that goes away, how am I gonna live? Jesus is like, over here. I'll help you. You got to be intentional to plan it out, to not answer phones, to say no to people who are coming to you. Why? So you can be renewed. Last of all, down in chapter 6, verse 46, after he feeds the 5,000, we find something very interesting that Jesus does. Verse 46, I don't even know if this is up here, but after leaving them, leaving the disciples, he went up on a mountainside to pray. This is number 3. We want to rest before work in the battle to prepare. We need to prepare. Prayer is not resting. Prayer is not resting. We don't go to pray so we can fall asleep, so we can think about nothing, so we can do nothing. Prayer is preparing. It's being filled up because it's coming to be with the Father, and the Father, more than anyone, as His Father to a child, wants to love you, heal you, teach you, and fill you up. Come to the Father. We rest. That means to cease, to stop, not doing anything. We rest to be re-energized. And we rest so we can get prepared for the work and the service God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You. Really teach us how to rest. This is one thing that we really don't understand well. And it actually takes a lot of work to get ourselves to a point where we can come to You and just sit at Your feet and to listen. Say, Jesus, I want You more than silver and gold. I want You more than fortunes untold. Lord Jesus, I'd rather have You than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by Your nail-pierced hands. Jesus. Jesus, we want more of You. God, give us a heart, God, today, that we would not hunger for more of the world, that we would not hunger for more games, more computer, more things that keep us busy and take our mind off of reality and all the work and people You want to save. But God, bring us before You and let us just sit at Your feet, because one word from You, God, is better than 1,000 from elsewhere. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.